This is WMUK's West Southwest Brief. I'm Gordon Evans. The Kalamazoo-based Upjohn Institute for Employment Research launched a project last year on how communities can attract and keep good jobs. Senior researcher Michelle Miller-Adams says leaders should build on their area's strengths.
When communities are struggling, they often think, you know, what do we have to do to land this giant plant that will employ a bunch of people and, you know, solve all of our economic woes? And that is a very low percentage strategy.
Miller-Adams and Upjohn Institute senior economist Tim Bardick are two of the co-authors of the report called Building Shared Prosperity: How Communities Can Create Good Jobs for All. What's the genesis of doing this report? Why did the Upjohn Institute want to take it on?
Well, we've long been interested in some of these topics. We've done a lot of work over the years on place-based scholarships, on job training, on economic development. And we decided to pull that together into looking at how we help places in general build good jobs for all residents, because I think it's an increasingly large problem in the U.S. We have a lot of places left behind. We may have Silicon Valley booming, but there are many rural areas, many small and medium-sized communities around the country where, despite the economic recovery, when you look at the prime age employment rate or you look at wage rates, people don't feel the economic recovery has reached them.
Bardick says the researchers emphasize policies that local governments can pursue on their own without assistance from the federal government. Miller-Adams says the report is plainly written without relying on statistics.
It's really designed for local government officials, for journalists, for city leaders to read and take away some of those specific ideas that can be implemented at the grassroots by local communities.
People who listen to this station regularly have heard both of you interviewed here regarding these topics: place-based scholarships, business incentives, tax credits, those sort of things. Is part of what you're doing here kind of linking these different subjects together in kind of one complete package that puts them in maybe one strategy?
Right. We're trying to link those together because, in fact, and there's a good reason to link them together, because the strategies are more effective as they go together. So if you're creating good jobs, if you also at the same time are creating the skills, it's more likely to rebound to the benefit of the local community. And for that matter, if you're talking about skills development programs, if they don't have strong ties to the types of job needs of employers, they're not going to be as effective. An effective job training program, in fact, has to take account of what skills employers actually want.
Let's go to place-based scholarships here for a moment, because I think people might hear a lot of what we're talking about and think, well, when I hear about I think about the Kalamazoo Promise, I think of it as a way to keep families in schools. I think of it as a way to encourage students who otherwise might not be thinking of going to college that this can be paid for. And so that barrier is out of the way. What does it mean for a community's workforce development, or at least what's the potential?
Right. So we are really at the beginning of trying to study that question quite rigorously and look at students who received the Kalamazoo Promise compared to comparable students who didn't, and see what happens to them once they are a few years into the workforce.
Miller-Adams says data to complete that work is still pending, but she says surveys for the Kalamazoo School District show that recipients of the promise are more likely to stay or return to the Kalamazoo area. Miller-Adams has studied other promise-like programs across the country. She says those can be tailored to the needs of that community. Miller-Adams says if improving the workforce is the main goal, a scholarship program can focus on paying for community college or technical training.
While that might be a less powerful tool for attracting people to the community, it's actually a pretty good tool for building a local workforce. Students who attend a local community college, and some of these programs are open to adults as well who are already very rooted in the community, are more likely to stay in the local community and work there.
Tim, is that one of the tools that when we talk about trying to get workers ready and have a ready workforce for businesses, paying for people to go to community college can be one of those avenues?
Well, community colleges are a tremendous resource for the U.S., and I think there's a lot of evidence that community college training programs can be tremendously effective in helping build skills that employers need, as well as being a cheaper way of at least doing the first 2 years of college before you go to a four-year school.
Bardick says programs like the Kalamazoo Promise also attract parents who want their children to attend college.
They make communities stickier as a place where people want to stay because they're willing to stay there and invest in the schools and be involved in the schools because there is this return. They know their kids have their college paid for.
So one of the things we're told towards the end of this report is that a community needs to build strong civic leadership. That sounds great, but in terms of actually making it happen, what are the steps?
Yeah, they're lucky they already have strong civic leadership. And then there's also a question about the nature of that leadership as well, which, you know, we touch on very briefly in the report. But again, it looks different in every community.
Miller Adams says Kalamazoo experienced a major change in the 1990s when pharmaceutical giant Upjohn merged and its headquarters moved out of the city. Miller Adams says that changed the leadership dynamic in Kalamazoo.
There are a lot of issues around how you include and represent low-income residents and leaders of low-income communities in civic leadership. I think you know from previous conversations, Gordon, that in general, I'm a big fan of anonymity when it comes to the Kalamazoo Promise. I think the fact that our donors are anonymous has been a good thing for the community and for the promise. But I worry a little bit about a lot of things getting done through anonymous donations and plans because I think it can lead to something of a democracy deficit.
Is part of the recommendation for communities to think about what you might be next, that perhaps the big company in your town will not be there or will be have a significantly smaller presence in, say, 20 years?
Right. But I think you need to build on what your current strengths are. So in Kalamazoo's case, so I think the business research park that many people invested in, the city, the university, Southwest Michigan First, many other groups try to develop the business research park. And a lot of the businesses there are somehow related to pharmaceuticals, but not all of them.
Tim Bardick is senior economist and Michelle Miller Adams is senior researcher at the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research. They are two of the authors of the report, Building Shared Prosperity, How Communities Can Create Good Jobs for All. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon.
A link to the Upjohn Institute's report can be found at WMUK.org. There you can also find the extended version of the interview where Tim Bardick discusses programs for training workers and helping them keep jobs once they're hired.
I think that you need to go beyond simply thinking of a training program as a one-time thing that you run in some separate place and need to think of it as something that is designed to link people where they live with jobs and keep on doing that even after you've made the placement.
You can also hear the full interview on the WMUK app and WMUK's West Southwest podcast through Apple iTunes and Google. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.